Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Uh-huh. Why are we always starting with the Backstreet Boys?
I don't know. See, this is what happens to me. I get these songs implanted in my brain. I mean, implanted. You know, I'm not even going to sing the song because I'll start the vicious cycle again. But you know, Destiny's Child, Say My Name.
Please, how dare, can I just say I'm hanging up right now.
Why?
How dare you even ask that as a rhetorical question?
Oh, yeah,
I don't know if you know this song by Destiny's Child.
Don't know. That was in my head for a good 4 years. I sang it. Obviously, at the start, it's like I sang it numerous times a day. And then you kind of, you'd be getting down to once a week. And then it just cranked back up again. And it was challenging.
Such a classic. What do you think is your favourite at the... At the risk of discussing earworms, because I know it's a dangerous game, and there is actually a German term for an earworm. If you know that, listener, please get in touch. I forget it. But what do you think would be your favourite Destiny's Child song?
Favourite Destiny's Child song? It would probably be that. I mean, I'm trying. Oh, Bugaboo. That's Destiny's Child.
Bugaboo. Bugaboo. Bootylicious. Another great one. Soldier. I used to love that one.
Oh, yeah.
I always feel like I'm in the video when I'm in the plans section in IKEA. Gotta carry big things, if you know what I mean. And Fred's like, Julie, it's a one-way system. We don't have time for this.
Yeah, that is a good song.
I only recent happened upon Bills the other day, and there is something about the lyrics that I don't know, do they age well? Because it's a bit like, aren't I great because I'm paying my own bills? I mean, that's just kind of life, isn't it?
I know, it's like that Chris Rock joke. I take care of my kids. Like, yeah, that's what you're meant to do.
That's your job.
Right for that. Yeah.
I pay for their school. I pay for their books. Yeah. Like, that's because they're kids. Like, you kind of have to.
You're setting the bar at that. Like, you know.
Up to 90. Up to 90. Up to 90. With Emma.
Socials.
Look, I'm off the socials for a couple of days.
So, is Julie okay? And I'm like, yeah, no, she's grand this time. I was like,
This time I'm fine. Although I was kind of delighted because yesterday when I went in for, I know this sounds like, it sounds like I'm Kate Middleton, the amount of hospital appointments I have, but I guess this is just all part of, you know, a geriatric pregnancy. I don't, it's not that I'm asking for these appointments. I'm not going private. I don't know. I just seem to be in there a lot. But yesterday now, the blood pressure was a bit high. So I was like, there you go. You see, I have been stressed. You know, when you're like, it's all getting a bit stressful. And then it is confirmed by your blood pressure. So I did kind of, you know, raise my fist in a triumphant fashion and say, oh, look, it's been a little bit stressful. But the last couple of days now, I felt much better. It was just a bit of a Twitter incident over the weekend, which I should probably reference.
Yeah, Well, it's totally your call. You're 50%.
No, I will. I do want to do it because the whole thing just made me massively uncomfortable and just, I suppose, to give my side of events. So basically, now maybe just to say as well, maybe my timing wasn't great and I didn't maybe think it through as much as I should have, but it was coming from a good place. I put up a post on Saturday. Now, obviously, had put up something the week previous about what we were all talking about and what we were talking about on the podcast, which is the problem with misogyny in comedy, which is a real problem that we have to tackle. But then it's just, I was kind of thinking, you know what, I would like to just say something as well about the men who have helped me and give me opportunities. Because to be honest, I've had so many opportunities given to me by men who, like, obviously, you know, I would have a bit of imposter syndrome and probably feel like I didn't deserve these opportunities. But I think I really have been encouraged by some men in comedy. Yeah. So I just wanted to write, like, you know, the way I've kind of gotten more into the habit of writing bits and pieces. So I just, like, I'll just do a little something. I did qualify it by saying at the start and the end, by saying, like, you know, obviously there are really bad men in comedy. There are also good men who do and say bad things. And in both cases, like, we have to stamp that out. It's really important. But there are also good men in comedy. So a lot of people took issue with it.
Right.
And I wouldn't be a massive Twitter person, so I actually gone off to visit my auntie and I came back and I was like doing the dinner for Fred or whatever. So it probably, this had been happening over the course of a few hours and I hadn't noticed it. So then when I went on Twitter, I did get a bit of a fright because
there was all this activity or whatever.
There was all this activity. And yeah, so a lot of people weren't happy. And right. Quite a few messages were quite, I mean, they were quite mean, a little bit abusive, quite horrible.
Were these messages in your DMs or were these messages in reply?
So both, but well, mostly, okay. I mean, mostly kind of in a public arena. Now, I got it, like, I did get a bit of a fright because the first couple of people, and I don't know where you're supposed to do this on Twitter, but I don't know who they were. But anyway, they were just kind of giving out about me, so I blocked them. Right. So I don't actually know who they were. But then the conversation continued. So I deleted the post and then I put up a thing. Like at this stage, maybe I didn't realize kind of just how pissed off people were at me. So I just put up a thing saying, okay, delete the post. I know some people took issue with it. Like I do stand by, you know, the overall sentiment, which was, by the way, just to say that there are some really good men in comedy as well. Like, it wasn't taken for fact there's horrible men in comedy because they said that in the piece. And, like, obviously these people have to be purged. But anyway, so I did say, look, you know, so then more people came back to me with abusive messages. And one message which really hurt was saying, oh, well, you know, you should stand with the victims. Or you're obviously not standing with the victims or something like that.
Right, okay.
Which really upset me because apparently one of the people I named, and now I was completely unaware of this, and I said this to you since Emma, and I think you were completely, I mean, you were completely unaware of this as well, but apparently one of the people I've named as somebody who has kind of helped me along is somebody that has some kind of allegation against them. Now, I said this to you.
Yeah, it's kind of a hand, like it's being handsy or whatever.
Being a bit handsy,
was it always
yeah.
Like it was
gropey. That's exactly what it, yeah.
Somebody, it was. Groped somebody on stage, but I never knew about this. I knew about this person had perhaps said something while they were emceeing that people took offense to,
mm-hmm. And I think which was
a few years ago, and the general consensus within comedy was it was, well, I wouldn't say it was 50-50, but a lot of people thought that it was completely distasteful and that this person needed to be taken out of comedy. And then other people were saying it was actually a call back to the comedian's joke.
Yeah. So very, and then it was taken so out of context.
Kind of the opinion of it at the time. That's what I had heard about a good few years ago, but I hadn't heard anything about groping a comedian. And I mean, while they were kind of handing the mic back or something.
No.
Is that
so
what
this
it was?
Well, this, I have no idea, but under what I had written,
this you then, because other people were telling, eventually kind of told you or something, didn't they?
Well, it's not even, what happened was that, because I was quite upset then, because then under what I had said about taking it down, when the person said, oh, you don't stand with victims, what really, really hurt about that, Emma, is, and actually I could actually get upset talking about it, but I'm just not going to get upset because I was so upset about this when I saw it. And I think it was Sunday, because I actually just switched my phone on airplane mode for Saturday night. And I looked at it on Sunday. And what really, really upset me was, first of all, to say I don't stand with victims is probably the lowest thing I think you can fling at any woman. I was completely unaware of this allegation. So much so that I actually messaged this person and said, who are you talking about? Like, I was genuinely freaked out then, because I was like, who is this?
Yeah.
And then eventually the person had said, oh, you know, it's so-and-so. And I was like, I was completely unaware of that. And what really hurt about that comment was, first of all, it's probably the lowest thing I think you can sing at a woman. Second of all, I have boycotted gigs because of how, well, because of, you know, how women were treated at these gigs. I have done charity gigs, obviously, you know, done any gigs I've been asked to do in support of crisis centres, anything else, have always been available. I put out a statement last week saying I believe women, which I do. And then also what really upset me is this thing of, oh, you don't stand with victims. It's really presuming, it's very assumptive, because it's presuming that I'm not a victim. It's like saying you can't be in this club.
Yeah.
It's making such an assumption about my experience. And I like, I think, to be honest, I don't know, whatever it was about the other comments, they were all pretty, you know, there were quite a few horrible ones, but that one just really hurt. Like, I mean, you can see where I'm coming from, like, in terms of how, why I was so upset about it.
But sure, I can hear it now. I can hear it in your voice, even.
Yeah, kind of, and I don't, I, you know, I don't want to get too upset about it. But like, also, what upset me was that
you have to be true to your own emotions and feelings. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, and like, if you're not true, you know, at the risk of pissing people off more. Like, if I'm not honest about being upset on my own podcast, like, what's the point of having? Like, we've said that from the beginning. Like, you know, it's really important to be honest on this as well. Then that person did, you know, I did have a DM conversation with them, and I did say to them, another thing which hurt me about that comment was, now, there would have been other comments made, that I was completely unaware, genuinely unaware of this allegation. So I put this post out in good faith, presuming that anyone I named was not a predator. She could have DM'd me, or any of these people, Emma, that publicly slammed me, could have DM'd me and said, now, a few people did DM me with just generic, like, oh, you know, I don't know, should you really put that up? And, you know, maybe you should take it down, kind of thing. But there was no specifics. I mean, I didn't know this until this person named this guy. And she has DM'd me, this person, to ask me to do charity gigs for her. I've always done them. I've always made myself available. So as I said to her, it was like, why, if we know each other well enough that you can DM me and ask me to do a gig, why couldn't you DM me with that information instead of publicly shaming me?
Yeah.
It's that simple.
I know, but it's true.
I mean, it's not.
You're happy to do, as you said, like, you're happy to do charity gigs and support and stuff like that. But when you do a charity gig for somebody that you know, you are traveling to that gig and whatever. So it does, you know, it is obviously your time, but it's obviously money as well, because you've got to get there and you've got to get yourself home.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah.
And if this person is kind of comfortable enough, as you say, to DM you in a very, but friendly acquaintance kind of way about doing X, Y, or Z, but then decides to kind of, yeah.
And like, what upset me was that it took until, I'd say that was maybe the middle of Sunday afternoon. So this conversation had been, I mean, basically I'd been called like a rape apologist, like, you know, said that I didn't stand with victims, like, you know, what kind of person was I, blah, 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 like just ripped to shreds in a public arena. And it took until I had to ask repeatedly, who are you talking about? Who is this person that supposedly like, was, you know, groped this person on stage? Because that was one of the comments under my tweets. Oh, and you named somebody who groped me on stage. I was like, what? I had no idea. And then eventually the person said, oh, it's this person. I mean, like, I'm not going to presume that these people are predators. I've never had an indication that that is the case. Like, if I had known that, of course, I wouldn't have put it up. But my only intent was to name a few men that I find, well, that I have found up to this point anyway, that, you know, they've helped me along. They've given me opportunities. They've really encouraged me. Like, it was coming from a good place. Like, I'm totally, obviously, I'm so sorry if it caused upset. I mean, I was then very upset by, you know, the things that were said about me. But it was genuinely, I really did not think anyone I named there was going to be a trigger for people or was going to upset people. I was totally oblivious to that. And even, like, I mean, I think when I said to you, like, in terms of the men in question, like, you would have probably been of the same opinion, Emma.
I didn't know about this groping story or
anything. I've never heard this story.
I think for you, it's complex. And any of the people that say, well, not any of them, but some of the people that say you, because remember, I only saw it like later when a lot of the stuff was gone or whatever. But, like, you know,
and you see, I haven't been on Twitter. So, yeah, like, I mean, I haven't been on since Sunday now.
People attacking you or whatever. But for you, it's a slightly more complex thing because you're due in September and you're having a baby with your life partner who you love and adore, but is a male comedian. So obviously, yeah, you're going to feel like more protective over, like, the good people in comedy, and in particular your partner. And that's totally normal and natural, because if you're expecting a child with somebody, whether you, like, you're married or whatever, they move from being your partner or boyfriend into a different sphere, because now, yeah, you are connected to each other for life, no matter, yeah, what happens, and you've created a human being together. You, yes, are connected forever. And when you are pregnant, you are going to feel more, you're going to have more of those emotions about protecting yourself and your little family. And your little family at the moment is you, your bump, and Fred.
Yeah.
Before,
and I think
that your family is your parents. That's, and obviously they still are your family, but they're not your family.
Your
unit.
Little unit. Yeah. It's
your
different.
Unit now is you, baby, and Fred. And I just feel that some of the comedians you were saying who were attacking you, people that you know have done gigs with, all in very good terms, they didn't need to go down that route.
Yeah. And I think
feel like it was coming from, we want this to end positively.
Didn't, well, feel like, I think,
feel like we'd love for everyone to have all the information that we have, and we're just trying to do a positive thing here and, you know, bring about positive change.
Like, why couldn't somebody have DM'd me that information instead of, yeah, and
FYI,
another thing is, like, say,
hope you're well.
But also, yeah, I got an awful lot of, I know this person in question now, when she said, you know, well, you should stand by the victims. When I said, well, I stand by the overall sentiment. And she said, you should stand by the victims, and then had a GIF or some kind of GIF, and it got however many likes. And then other people started commenting, obviously, kind of. Now, in saying that, a lot of people were very nice. You know, it wasn't that everyone was, like, abusive, but there just was this particular cohort, which, like, I just found it, like, probably my most upsetting online experience to date. But it just, I feel like anyone who knows me knows, well, I would have thought, but obviously this isn't the case, I would have thought people would have presumed that me putting that up, first of all, was not being defensive of every man in comedy, because I was very clear on that. I said there are really bad men in comedy, and, like, this needs to be stopped, and also there are good men who do and say bad things. But there are also good men in comedy, and I do stand by that sentiment. But yet, that seemed to be what really riled people then. It just seemed like I couldn't say anything right.
Unless it was exactly what they thought.
And you see this, and I just feel like the thing about being, I felt, and I did say to somebody then who messaged me privately on WhatsApp, and they, you know, didn't, you know, they didn't comment publicly on this, but they did message me privately. And I said, like, what really hurt was also this feeling of being cast out of the club. Like, you don't stand with victims. As I've said, that is so aside from all the really horrible insinuations with that, it's also presuming that I have this had this crystal stair experience whereby, oh, well, you wouldn't get it. So you're over there now. You're not in this club. And the person I was WhatsApping was saying, oh, no, like, you haven't been cast out of a club. And I was like, well, no, that's what they've done. They've said you can't be in this club. Even though I boycott gigs where women are badly treated, I feel, you know, I do my share of, like, I've organised, you know, Emma, like, I organised one gig for women in direct provision. I was in the process of organising another two gigs for different cohorts of women. Like, I feel to say I'm not in the club is just really kind of mean.
So how do you feel about it now?
I know that's a bit childish saying it's kind of mean, but it did just feel like, because I deviated from the script, that I was one of the bad guys. And that just hurt because, and I'm not saying, by the way, I hate saying, oh yeah, well, I've, you know, I was in the process of organising gigs when the lockdown happened and blah, blah, blah. It's not about that, but I'm just saying I'm not somebody, like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be all like, oh, aren't I great? It's more that, like, to say that I don't care is really hurtful because I actually am somebody who does actively do things to try to help people. And, like, maybe my wording was misjudged, maybe the timing was misjudged. But I guess it's upsetting when people question your intent. And, like, I wasn't doing this in defense of all men in comedy, by the way. And also another thing people took issue with, which was something now, you know, I would have chatted about, but, like, another thing people took issue with was the fact that I named a couple of people who would do this gig that I have long since boycotted. But you see, my attitude with that is I'm actively boycotting this gig. I know you've been, but I can't delete people from my life because they choose to do that gig. Like, I can be disappointed, but I just think life isn't that binary, that I can't say, well, now that person's a bad person because they've done that gig and I'm going to remove them from my life. I just think it's too simplistic. Like, you can't control other people's behaviours. Like, you can be disappointed and wish that they made a different choice. But again, this seemed to be about, like, a lot of people were throwing this back at me. Like, how can you name these people? It's something I'll admit I didn't consider at the time. I momentarily did forget that they have done this gig. But again, putting it back on me, like somebody who does actively boycott the gig, I just feel, I don't know, I just felt really upset by it.
So you're keeping yourself busy anyway, is what you're saying.
No, but I'm, you know, I have. I know now, sorry, this is such an emotional up to 90. I'm grand. I am
You're
fine.
Still actually self-harming is what we're getting at here.
No, I'm not self-harming. Look, can I just say,
what should I do? Think.
Look, to end it on a positive, no, of course.
You know, I'm slagging.
I know you're only slagging. But to end it on a positive, you know, okay, first, well, before I end on a positive, I will say, I'm sorry for any upset caused by my post in which I wanted to just name a few men who have helped me along and I have found to be sound.
Yeah.
I am sorry that caused upset. I probably should have foreseen that. I'm not blaming it on baby brain, but I'll be honest, I throw a lot of things up on the internet these days without probably considering the consequences. So to say I am upset, like, you know, if other people are upset, is understatement of the century, because I do a lot of self-blame and I do get very upset when I think I might have upset other people, and I dwell on it quite a bit. So I'm genuinely sorry if that was the case. And if anyone named was triggering, I came to this with good faith. I was completely unaware of anything, you know, that I was told until Sunday. You know, all of that is completely true. But it's also true that, you know, I was very upset. And I just feel... Yeah.
Oh, I totally get it. Because if somebody says to you in, like, wherever, on the street or, you know, in a club or in a coffee shop or whatever, And they say, I can't believe you think that about it. Well, whatever. What the fuck are you talking about? Ram.
Yeah.
Then somebody posts it on social media and there's a definite tone to it. And it's not a stranger. So it kind of almost adds extra gravitas to what they're saying.
It is kind of doubly hurtful. And there are people.
It's a colleague or, you know, a past colleague. So if somebody who was a past colleague kind of says X, Y, or Z about you, there's more weight to it because they're like, well, they know her. This isn't just like, you know, underscore 567, you know, at symbol, whatever.
Yeah.
Egg profile, who has no followers. And it's obviously. Sorry. I'm sitting in the sitting room. My dogs are going mad at every noise. But, you know, and people who are active online are aware of this.
Yes. And it just, you know, the public shaming was hard, but to end on a positive, I will say, because I don't want it to be about me, because, you know, it's not about me, like, in terms of I mean, look, maybe I did misjudge it in terms of timing and all that, but it was coming from a good place. And, you know, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry if anyone was upset by it. I was certainly upset about how it all ended. I am fine, by the way. So, you know, just to say, because so many people sent me messages before I turned my socials off for the couple of days, just to give myself a bit of a break. Haven't got back to them, but they were really lovely. But please do not feel the need to message me to see am I okay or anything, because I have. You know, I'm in a much better place now with it. And actually, you know, a few of these people did apologize to me privately. And, you know, they did offer to delete. Well, they might have deleted their tweets. I haven't been on Twitter. And to be honest, I wouldn't be looking for it.
I didn't see anything then when I saw it.
Yeah. So I thank them if they did delete their tweets. I thank them. I did say, you know, it wasn't necessary. And I did probably, it was a bit passive aggressive. I did say, oh, well, the damage is kind of done. But I think at that point, what I was hurt about really was just people who know you, who could DM you, but who chose to take the other route, which is kind of for, I suppose it's failing to kind of maybe consider that I was unaware of this. Like, I'm not a bad person. Like, why would I name somebody that has potentially hurt somebody else as, you know, a man who's been sound to me? Like, I mean, I like to think on a very basic level people would have thought that about me, but obviously not. But I did get lovely messages from people and lovely, you know, people publicly supported me as well. I was really surprised at, like, you know, a few of the people, and it meant so much. It really, really did. But I just don't want to be taking up people's time with it now, and like people messaging me and all that kind of crack. Because there's much, you know, worse stuff going on in the world as well. But, you know, I mean, I think I've learned a few lessons this week. And I mean, it's kind of sad to say, I don't want to say learned who your friends are, but it's interesting the people who back you up and the people who don't. And, you know, that's probably been, it's been a hurtful one in ways, but it's been maybe a learning curve that I needed to, I suppose, kind of, what's the word, right, you know, kind of a learning curve that I needed to go through as well.
Yeah,
but I'm, you know, I'm grand, you know, I'm fine. And just to say that, and, you know, we'll move on, we will not be discussing it anymore. I hope I don't get much flack for this episode as well.
No.
But sure, look, it is what it is. It's not
so definitely I feel that this is partly my fault, because a few weeks ago on the podcast, I told you to stop asking Fred his opinion for what you should tweet and shouldn't.
I know, that was in relation to TikTok. Can I just say, Fred had no part in that bloody tweet. Oh, God. I mean, and then poor Fred had come in every...
You're a real divo. It's just like, oh, Julie's off the socials again. Fuck, here we go.
But I needed a couple of days off. And you know what? It's not me saying...
I'm glad you did. Because when I went down all of these various Julie apologies, and I was just like, oh, no. I was just like... because I know what would be behind that. Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously, like, we're very similar. And, you know, we've obviously got the same sense of humor or whatever. But, like, I know that if you're apologizing for something on social media, I'm just like, oh no, because I know the hurt.
You immediately thought you were like, up to 90 is dead.
No.
Well, look, I am. Like, look,
but I am. I knew that you would be upset. And I was just like,
oh. Yeah, well, I think I was just in shock. And, you know, aside from the whole thing that, like, the person in question, people that we know and love and are people of integrity have been gigging for this person for years, that, like, I think they would probably be equally surprised. I mean, it was genuinely coming from a place where I did not know. And, you know, it's
Julie, it's just the same now, Julie, coming from a good place, Jay.
I know. I'm just keep saying the same thing. So we'll wrap it up. It'll be back to regular up to 90 next week. Please do not delete me from your lives. I'm not a bad person, I promise. Which is kind of what all bad people say, isn't it? I'm not a bad person. But look, hopefully I'm not still cancelled. But I'd like to think I'm not, but sure, who knows? I'm probably cancelled with some people. But anyway, what can you do?
But sure, if you're cancelled with people you knew already, you're already cancelled with them. They just haven't vocalised yet. Because you wouldn't do that to a mate, like imagine you post something crazy. Just say something actually crazy and I attack you on Twitter.
Yeah, this is true.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it just wouldn't happen.
And it's probably, you know, I'm pushing 40, so it's a bit sad to admit this as a grown adult, but I suppose it never gets any easier. I think it's always hard when you do kind of realize in that moment, like, who is your mate and who isn't. So, you know, that's hard. But again, sure, it's something we never stop learning.
Getting a bit Oprah now.
It is getting
to.
A bit Oprah, and I do want to end it on that I do take responsibility, and, you know, I am sorry if it caused any offence, and maybe my timing wasn't great, but I'm going to say it, Emma, I was from
a good
place. Thank you. Okay, so regular up to 90 next week, we'll be back to our old selves. I've been Julie J.
I've been Emma Dore. God bless patrons. We will chat to you on Thursday. I'll try and fucking shake a joke out of this one because, okay.
No, I'll be back to my old self. I'll be having the crack now Thursday.
We may get a bit of Emma's news. It is actually my fucking birthday today, but whatever. Don't mind me.
Oh my God, I forgot your actual birthday because sure, I put up the big O to you the other day. And do you know what? I was lying awake and
I'm joking.
But look, it was all about me today, Emma. I'm sorry. Birthday or no, all about me.
Yeah, no, it's cool. No, I'm not
happy
a birthday person.
Emma.
I slyly tell people sometimes, but I haven't even said it to anybody today who I've been in touch with. So it's all good.
Well, it's hard when your boss rings you and you're like, hey, how are you? Great, it's my birthday. Like, it's hard to just drop it in.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm actually off today. That's where I'm talking during the day. I took the day off.
What you need to do is you need to just to make people feel really bad, because I think this is what you did last year, is maybe put up a picture of a couple of cards and a little cake at the end of the day and just say, oh, the kids went all out. And then everyone's like, fuck.
I probably would do that, but it doesn't bother
that's
me.
That's your style. But that's what you need to do. That's why I did the hello to you on Saturday, because I knew it was the last week of June and I was like, this bitch is not doing this to me again. So I was like, I'm just going to pretend today is your birthday.
I know. It's easy to remember though. 30th of June, last day of June. It's all good.
I'll put it in the diary now. Well, and sure, look, little did I know I'd be off social media. And thank God I put it up, because sure, otherwise I'd have to go on to do the whole bloody picture montage thing.
It'd be a bit of a change in vibe, wouldn't it?
Everybody would be like,
go from that to birthday shout out. It needs something in between to kind of cushion it a little bit.
I'd need some kind of segue, wouldn't I?
You'd need an inspirational meme or something. Something about snakes. That should be your next post.
Okay, on that note, Emma, happy birthday, babes. Thank God you're finally 36. I was like, will this bitch ever turn 36?
Jesus
Christ. Okay, come here. I'm going to let you go because I have to go for an OWEE.
All right, cool. I'll chat to you later.
Much love. Chat to you tomorrow. Bye.
God bless everyone.
A quick shout out as well to three very special people. So first of all, Remy got in touch, and we just wanted to give a quick shout out to Remy because unfortunately her name does begin with R. So that means she's going to be waiting a while for a shout out. Also, a quick shout out to the lovely Alison, who I unforgivably left out when I was going through the A's. So Alison, I'm so sorry. You're such a sweetheart. And this is a very special shout out just for you. I can't actually get my laptop to work this week, so I can't get into the D's who were next on my list, but you will be given a very special shout out next week. And also, final shout out is a special request. It's from Laura, who wants to wish her sister Sarah happy birthday. And very sadly, Laura is trapped in London for COVID-19 and hasn't been able to get home for ages. So Laura, we really hope you can get home to us very, very soon. I mean, London is the best town in the world. So I have to say, you know, limited sympathies. But at the same time, obviously, you probably do want to come home. So very special happy birthday to Sarah. Thanks so much for supporting the podcast, guys. Thanks a mil.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.